You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're discussing Syria and what would stabilise the situation in Syria. I've laid out my views very clearly, as have the two callers that have been on from South Africa and from the United Kingdom, both of them exemplary callers. We want your calls, but also your emails, your SMS, your tweets. And if they're good enough, they'll come up here on the comment wall. I'm saying that there can be no stabilization in Syria without the defeat on the battlefield of the Takfiri fanatic extremists. I don't believe that we can negotiate with Al-Qaeda or negotiate with ISIS. We have to defeat them. We have to defeat them in Syria and in Iraq and everywhere else that they rear their head. Now, we've got a tweet. Wolfgard says, why are you using the Western term regime rather than government in relation to Syria? Well, actually, I use the term government and I use the term regime. It's not meant necessarily to be pejorative, but in general, I don't call governments that are elected regimes, elected in free elections. Therefore, the David Cameron has a government. Saudi Arabia has a regime. You get my point? And now let's talk to Shoukat in London. Shujat in London. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, George. How are you?
Very well, by the grace of God. Yeah. Good to hear your voice. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I've listened to your comments and to the questions you've posed, and I quite agree with a lot of what you say, but I may say something which you may not agree with. If I were to say that the best and permanent solution to this crisis, the long term, will only come with, let's say, the most powerful country stop playing, the Saudis, then this will be a permanent solution to the crisis. They are the biggest supporters of the Al-Qaeda and these IS people deep down, and the biggest supporters of manpower and weaponry. And if that were to support were to end, then only will this end. They are the ones who are creating it all. That's what I think.
Well, I agree. Indeed, I think I said so, that the war has to end, which means those who are fueling the war have to stop fueling it. I don't actually know what the Saudi regime is playing at. If the ISIS Al-Qaeda phenomenon were to become big and powerful enough to triumph in Syria, Saudi Arabia and its regime would be next on their agenda, as it happens. I hope that the great people of Arabia will bring about profound change in their own country without fighting, without blood. But I will not support a foreign invasion of Saudi Arabia. I will not support foreign terrorism overwhelming even that dastardly regime in Saudi Arabia. Syria is for the Syrians to sort out, and Saudi Arabia is for the people of Arabia to sort out. But we have a right to demand that they stop exporting their extremist ideology, an ideology which they themselves don't practice, of course, as anyone following recent court cases in the United States knows. The membership of the Saudi regime, even the very close to the top membership of the Saudi regime, are the least Muslim people you could possibly imagine, never mind Wahhabi. Shujat, how's that?
That's fine, but I think they only want the toppling of the Assad regime. That's their first target, and everything else comes after. I mean, then they, after toppling the regime, they will then deal with the IS and the Al-Qaeda, the Al-Nusra Front after that. But I think they're supporting it to topple Assad. What do you think?
There's no doubt about that. But the idea that once you've built a Frankenstein monster that you any longer control it was an idea that was bankrupted, if not before, then by the conduct of Western powers in Afghanistan in the 1980s, when we constructed the monster that became Al-Qaeda. We constructed the monster that became the Taliban. We constructed it, paid for it, armed it, propagandized for it. And of course, once it was fully formed, it had no more use for pleasing those who had created it. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. But the one thing I understand, George, how is it that so many rank and file of these Muslim countries, they are joining this IS and this Al-Qaeda? How is it that this coming about? They are
a murderous regime. I doubt they're joining it in such numbers now. In fact, there are reports. I don't know if they're accurate, because the first casualty of war is truth. But there are reports that they are dressing up as women and fleeing the country. That may or may not be true, but I'm certain that it will eventually be true. And of course, the problem for countries like Britain, and I told this many times privately and publicly to the British government, is that one day these fanatics that you are encouraging and directly or indirectly arming and financing will one day be back here in our own country and looking for our own leadership to murder. They will be creating murder and mayhem on the streets of London once they return from the streets of Aleppo. Am I right?
Yeah, I quite agree with that. That's fine. But I also say something about the atrocities that this so-called war on terror has inflicted on these people, and the imprisonment and counter-terrorism and the torture chambers and the treatment in Abu Ghraib and in Guantanamo Bay. All these people have been dragged there for years. All that hatred is also coming out in this manner. This is
the revenge. If you go on YouTube, you'll see me give speeches without number on this very point, that this phenomenon of extremism didn't come out of a clear blue sky. It emerged out of a swamp that had been watered by Western double standards and injustice towards the Muslims across the world, at home and abroad. Shujaat, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Zainab is in Nigeria. Let's hear from Zainab. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Good evening. And thank you for the work that you're doing. You're an inspiration to a lot of us who are trying to do something, but it's very little. But with your voice, giving our voices, thank you on behalf of everyone. We can say thank you.
Thank you, Zainab.
Now, on to Syria. It's inevitable that the West are going to fail miserably and shamefully. All your plan is going to go to waste, by God's grace. We're very happy that we're in Muharram in a month where Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave his life in order to bring justice and to make sure that humanity is not abandoned, that we remember that we hold ourselves to fight for what is right, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. Saudi Arabia has become a cancer to the Muslim Ummah, and inshallah, inshallah, we are going to be successful in eliminating this cancer. I don't know how the West can stand there on your platform and tell us that they are human rights activists when in truth they support regimes like Saudi Arabia.
Yes. The Chinese president was here in London over the last few days, and the Western liberal media was filled with demands that the Chinese leadership be quizzed about its human rights record. But what if China were to quiz us about our human rights record? About our relationship with some of the most tyrannical regimes on the face of the earth. The fact that we are the main weapons supplier of a Saudi tyranny which is about to crucify and behead a young teenage boy because he was involved in political protests in Saudi Arabia asking for democracy. You want to talk about human rights in someone else's country? Thanks, Zainab. Let's go to the comment wall, take another tweet. This one, Alison Sessi, back with comment again, analyzing possibilities for stabilizing Syria. It's sad to have been proved right all along. Well, someone said, Alison, about Russia earlier, that they have proved themselves to be an all-weather friend. I like to think I'm an all-weather friend. I never give uncritical support to anybody. I do not believe in my country, right or wrong, or anybody else's country, right or wrong. I support what's right and oppose what's wrong, whoever is doing it. But the choice for me was clear right from the very beginning, and that's been reflected in my speeches in Parliament, in my appearances here on Press TV, in my speeches on the streets of London and elsewhere, that in a battle, there's only one side or the other can prevail. And you have to choose your side. And you have to stick with it. And you have to use all the breath and whatever ability that God gave you to do it. And I'm proud of the stand that I have made over Syria. I would have been proud even if we had lost. I'm even more proud now that we are winning. Now, Abdi is in Oslo. Let's hear from him. Abdi, welcome.
So, thank you very much, Mr. Galloway. I would just like to add that the only solution to stabilize Syria is to defeat this ISIS supported by the Western countries, especially the U.S. And I thank God that Russia intervened now and is going to clean up the mess that the Western created in Syria. I mean, who gave them the right to topple any government in a foreign land? How would America or England feel if a country from Africa or Asia comes to England or America and says that, no, we don't like your government, we want a government that is supportive to us? How would they feel? It's double moral that the game the Western are playing against. I mean, for the past two decades, it's just been war and miseries. People are dying, they're destroying houses, they're destroying families, and they're closing their borders. Now people are coming to Europe, they're closing their borders and calling them like the terrorists. These are not terrorists. Terrorists are the ones that you support, the Western countries support, like ISIS. It has never been a terrorist organization that has been so powerful like ISIS. And how do you get so powerful if you're not getting support from America? You have to get intelligence support, the Secret Service. I mean, how can they gain so much territory by themselves? They said Bin Laden used to be a West terrorist. That guy never even gained any kind of territories as the ISIS are doing. It clearly shows that America is creating terrorists and it's deporting them to foreign countries. And that is the thing that the Western countries has to stop, or the world will go crazy. I mean, there's so much death. You see how many people that are dying on the seas, mothers, children. You got children too. They got children. Their children are going to universities and college. What about these innocent people?
Well, look, Abdi, I couldn't put it more eloquently than you have, and I'm not going to try. Thanks for that wonderful call in Oslo. Let me move on to Hassan in London. Hassan, welcome.
Thank you very much, George. How are you, George?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Thank you.
George, I have a lot of things to say, but to make it short, we all are confused about this mess. In the beginning, when this war was indirectly supported by all, you know, their allies, and as all of a sudden we heard that Russia has jumped in, I must say one thing, it's my practical approach. When I was a kid, I remember I used to pray that, oh God, keep these, you know, I used to pray for Palestine and Kashmir. So these were the two flashpoints in the world at that time. And we used to watch these news all the day. And day by day, then after that, Iraq war came, then Afghanistan, and then Syria. And I don't know for how long these wars will go on, going on and on. So my question from these big, big powers like Putin or Obama or XYZ, there's not a single human in this world. Not a single leader. I will not call them leaders or president because they do not represent us. We are humans. God has given us brain. So there is not a single person in the world who can literally think about the people rather than, you know, greed. It's a greed. You know, everybody is running for power and money.
I understand your sentiment, Hassan, but I can't accept it. The leadership in Iran, for example, has taken an exemplary stance towards this, and right from the very beginning, from the first day, and has not wavered, not one centimeter in all this time. And it has proved itself, just as Russia has, to be an all-weather friend. The Russian government has stood by Syria. President Putin, much maligned, has stood by Syria and been crystal clear on his principles in this, that we cannot support terrorism in one place and say that it's the biggest curse on the earth in another. Terrorism is terrorism is terrorism. You can't say that someone is a moderate terrorist. What does that mean? They only cut half your head off? They only eat half your heart? They only destroy half of your church? Or destroy half of your graves? You're a terrorist if you do these things, in whichever cause you're doing them. You're a terrorist if you murder people because they're from a different religion or from a different strand within your own religion. That's terrorism. And the Iranian government and the Russian government have been absolutely crystal clear on this. So I think you should exculpate both of these governments from your general criticism, which, of course, I well understand. And Hassan, the biggest problem in Britain and in the United States today is that nobody trusts the state or the government or the leaders anymore, even when they're telling the truth. It's actually quite rare that they tell the truth. But even when they do, nobody believes them because everyone considers them to be self-serving liars. Now, Al Mabrouk's in Toronto. I enjoyed our last chat. Let's hear this one. Al, go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening. Congratulations to the people of Canada on sweeping away,
thank you very much.
Sweeping away the last ditch of George Bushism.
Yes, yes. Actually, the people in Canada, they managed to liberate themselves from some years of division and some conspiracy was going on somewhere, and now we are hoping for a better future.
Well, it certainly can't, it's not likely at least to be worse than the decade that you've just passed through. Go ahead, what do you think about Syria?
Well, about Syria, I have a little bit of addition. I think my education and my history will help me to say that. Now, I am originally from Egypt. I live in Canada for the last 43 years. One of my friends over here asked me, I said, you are from Egypt and do you know about the system? What's the difference between Shia and Sunni? Why they are fighting each other? And that actually got me to remember that when I was in university back in the 60s, one, I studied law, and one of the courses I took it was the Islamic law. And in this course, in university, one of the first lessons we learned that not much difference in all of the sects or the division between Sunni and Shia. And there is a hadith, it's one of the approved hadith by all of the groups, that a man went to the Prophet, peace upon him, and they ask him, I want to be Muslim, what should I do to be a Muslim? He said, very simple thing, just do five things. He didn't say six, he said five things. He said, one, say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Second, you pray. Third, pay zakah. Fourth, you have to fast the month, which is Ramadan. Fifth, if you can, go for Hajj. He didn't say anything else. That's to make a Muslim. And we, as we know now, Shia, Alawi, Sunni, all of them, we do these things and more. So why these people going to fight each other? They are doing that for political and for some God knows what reason. They are destroying cities, killing everybody, and that should be stopped. I don't see any reason for that. I did see from my studies, none of the studies we have especially in Islamic law, it encouraged this kind of violence we see between Muslims. And if they do that to their fellow Muslims, what they are going to do to the Christian, what they are going to do to the Jewish, to the Buddhist, to everybody, it will be a jungle. So we have to learn how to live together and respect each other.
Fantastic call. Fantastic. From Toronto. And a salute to the people of Canada. Mohammed's in the United Kingdom. Let's go to him now. Mohammed.
Assalamu alaikum, George. How are you?
Walaikum salam. Nice to hear from you, sir. Go ahead.
Good to hear from you. I hope you're well, George. First of all, I want to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa halil aqda min lisani yafqahu qawli. Obviously, with the subject of Syria, I don't really, like I said in the previous call, with a different matter, I don't have much knowledge regarding this subject. So there might be a lot of things behind the scenes going on which I don't know about. But one thing that I am sure about, just like the previous caller put it very eloquently, is that there is only one God, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And if we go by the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, then we will not go astray as mankind. You know, knowledge is understanding that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. So, you know, with regards to Syria, no, I don't know what's going on. I watched a very interesting program on TV not too long ago, actually, and it was talking about trees. And the branches and the leaves on trees actually grow more on the side where there's more light. Now, when you sort of think about sort of how people have grown, their supply of light is often from corrupt sources, be it money, be it narcissism, be it any corrupt source. The interesting point is that we have to also learn the wisdom of compromise, because it's better to bend a little than to break. I think the nations really need to do, they need to look inside them and sort of see where have they gone wrong, where have they gone wrong, and where they have gone wrong, look to make a change.
Exactly. Analysis of where things have gone wrong and a determination to put them right. That's what I was looking for from tonight's program, Mohammed, and I think by and large we've got it. We know that things cannot be the same as they were before all this disaster, once the disaster has been ended. It is a necessary condition, necessary, that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are defeated comprehensively on the battlefield, militarily crushed. That's necessary. It's not sufficient. Everything has to change after they've been defeated. It's been marvelous.
Hello, if you just comment on your name and the place you left that number, and just make sure that your telephone volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know, I know. Can you redirect me to the phone number and then we'll be back?
Comment.